Thanks again, Carmelie and Mark and Trinity and Marvin, Jim back there on sound. It's refreshing to sing the songs of Christ, and it's refreshing to sing the songs of our country, and so many of our traditional patriotic songs are of both, Christ and country. That's our heritage. In my possession, I have a number of writings that are entitled, Freedom is Not Free. That's a slogan that means a lot that we need to keep in mind. Our freedom has not been free. Here is another one entitled, Freedom is Not Free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young soldier saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many soldiers were shot down, how many died at sea. How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, our freedom is not free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen. When a flag had covered a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of mothers and of wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands, with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves at Arlington. No, our freedom is not free. Very, very sobering. How many of you have visited Arlington Cemetery? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that majestic? Sobering. I have also had the privilege of seeing the memorials at Pearl Harbor. You go out on that memorial and nobody says a word on the way out while you're out there and on the way back to the shore. Silence, which is so fitting. Yeah, freedom is not free. This is a history lesson I do every year and I think it's important and I'll do it quickly, but I hope you'll pay attention. In the wars in our history, this is only military personnel passing. This is not civilian casualties. The Revolutionary War ended in 1783. 25,000 American soldiers were killed. The War of 1812 ended in 1815. 2,000 Americans dead. The Mexican War ended in 1848. 13,000 Americans killed. The Civil War ended in 1865. 530,000 American troops killed. The Spanish-American War ended in 1898. 2,000 Americans died. World War I ended in 1918. 117,000 Americans died in World War I. World War II, 1945, ended with 405,000 American military deaths. The Korean War ended in 1953 with 54,000 Americans having given their life for their country. The Vietnam War ended in 1975. 58,000 Americans died in Vietnam. The Persian Gulf War ended in 1991. 400 died in that conflict. In Iraq and in Afghanistan, the numbers still climb, and it approaches 8,000 have died in Iraq and in Afghanistan in more recent times. Each of those huge numbers that total nearly 1.5 million American military who have paid the price with their life for our freedom, nearly 1.5 million in our history, and each one of them was an individual person like you and me. Very sobering. No, our freedom is not free. Lord, we thank you for our country, that you raised it up, that you continue to sustain it. We pray for those in leadership over us, that you would give them your wisdom and direction and keep them from doing things that displease you or would harm our country. We pray for our leaders at every level, that you'll raise up people who will fear you and place their faith in you and follow your guidelines for our lives and for our nation. We thank you for our Christian heritage. We thank you for the scriptures that are in the foundations of so many of our government buildings in Washington and in so many of our memorials. We thank you for our heritage. We would pray, Lord, that you would call us back as a country to yourself, that we as a people would be willing to repent of our sins and receive you openly as individual Americans and as a nation. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed you. Thank you for not failing us. Thank you for prospering us and giving us peace on our continent. Lord, we pray today for those who still serve as first responders, as law enforcement, as military. We pray for them for their continued vigilance and safety as they provide for our safety. Lord, we thank you that you ultimately are our security. We love our country, and we thank you for it. But you are our security, in God we trust. Author of liberty, to thee we sing. Thank you for liberty politically. Thank you for liberty spiritually. Because, Lord Jesus, you have paid the price for our sin, and you will forgive us if we will have you. We thank you, Lord, for cleansing. We thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Lord, today as we open the book of Proverbs once again for the 15th time, speak to our hearts as only you can. And we ask it for your glory and we ask it for our good. And we pray for those in our church family who are not well today or traveling today. We ask that they would be sensing your personal presence with them wherever they are today. And we thank you, Lord, that as we sing and pray and read scripture and hear your word together this morning, as we give our gifts back to you in worship, we thank you that we sense your presence in this place. Thank you for giving us this place, dedicated to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 13 is where we need to be this morning. God's guidelines for life and living, practical, picturesque, pointed statements to help us through. Last week we began, and today we will complete looking at people of promise in Proverbs. Folks with a future, if you will. As we've looked at many different portraits of people in Proverbs, this is Proverbs that address people who have a bright future as opposed to people who have a dim future, according to the word of the Lord. Proverbs 13 and verse 6. You'll notice each of the Proverbs that we look at today talk about the end game, okay? The long view. Too many of us too often take the short view on things. This is the long view. Proverbs 13:6, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. And I know a lot of people seem to be doing quite well and enjoying themselves quite a lot in their wickedness. But let's listen to the word of the Lord. In the end, wrongdoing and wickedness will overthrow the person who commits it. Interesting, righteousness guards the man of integrity. The whole Bible ties together. The Holy Spirit had Paul write in Ephesians 6 that there is a breastplate of righteousness in the spiritual armor. Here Solomon talks about righteousness guarding the man of integrity, even as Paul does in the New Testament. Proverbs 13:6, move to verse 21, same chapter, please. We're surveying these proverbs so that we can appreciate how many speak to the same issues repeatedly through the book. Proverbs 13 and verse 21, misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. The Apostle John wrote in 3 John 2, as you follow the Lord Jesus, may your soul prosper. Solomon wrote, prosperity, emotionally and otherwise, spiritually and otherwise, is the reward of those who are right with God and walk with Him. Misfortune pursues the sinner who leaves God out of his choices, out of his life, out of his existence. Chapter 14, verse 14. We're talking about people of promise. We're talking about folks with the future. Proverbs 14, 14. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. And you say, but so often it seems like in our fallen world, people without faith do just fine. God says, trust me on this. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. Jesus said, even if we do something as simple as give a cup of cool water to someone in his name for his glory to help that person, we will be rewarded for it. The God who knows everything promises retribution. He promises reward. Interesting, too, how important is faith in the Bible? 300 times in the Bible we're told we're saved by faith. The only way to please God is to trust Him and to believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who pursue Him. Hebrews 11, 6. So those without faith and those who will not come to faith will be repaid as well as those who walk with God. Verse 19, Proverbs 14. Evil men will bow down in the presence of the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. That doesn't happen every night on the news, does it? But this is future tense. This is God's perspective, not the world's and not man's. Evil men will bow down in the presence of the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. And Philippians 2 and many other places tell us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In our songs today, in our prayers today, in the scriptures that we read, we are openly confessing Jesus is Lord. That's why we're here. Someday, every human being that's ever lived will bow down to the Lord, Philippians 2. And God says, those who are right with Him win in the end. Proverbs 14, verse 19. How about verse 27? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Remember, the twin foundations of Proverbs and wise living are to fear God, respect that He is, and have reverence for Him, and faith in the Lord to trust Him. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Abundant life comes, overflowing life comes from recognizing God and respecting Him, turning a man from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord in the first part of verse 27 brings abundant life. The last part of verse 27, it brings eternal life. In the Gospel of John, Jesus promised both abundant life and eternal life to those who place their faith in Him. The whole scripture ties together. It's all God's book. Please look at verse 32. Very appropriate for Memorial Day weekend. This is the weekend when we not only remember our military heroes and fallen heroes who protect us, but we remember our loved ones who've passed on. It's a weekend of thinking about the cemetery. But it's verses in the Bible like this who give us great hope even as we travel to or think about the cemetery. Proverbs 14:32. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down. They have no place to go. But even in death, the righteous have a refuge in the Lord. There are many hard things that we can go through in life. The ultimate hard thing is physical death. But as we were reading in our scripture reading, as we listened to Mark read for us, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Even if the worst happens and we die today physically, even in death, those right with God by faith have a refuge. We don't have to fear the cemetery. We have hope. Proverbs 16, 3 to 5. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will live even if he dies. Even in death, the righteous have a refuge. Proverbs says the same thing Jesus would say 1,000 years later. Proverbs 16, 3 to 5. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Mark prayed this in his prayer. As we live out our lives, Lord, help us to do whatever we do for you. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Please reread verse 4 of Proverbs 16. That is Romans 8:28, all things work together for good according to Solomon. Look at it again, verse 4. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, for his own purposes. God, who is in control of the universe, he's got the whole world in his hands, works out everything for his own ends and purposes. Even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Bible tells us, God cannot be tempted by evil or do evil. Don't blame God for evil. He's created man and mankind in his own image. He gives us free choices to make. We suffer the consequences or we enjoy the consequences of our choices. Proverbs is all about choices and consequences. But God, who is sovereignly, ultimately in control, tells us throughout the Bible and in Proverbs 16:4, that even the evil in the world, even the disasters, even the wickedness, God is going to work out ultimately for his purposes. You say, Pastor, that takes faith to believe that. Well, welcome to Christianity. Verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart, the arrogant. That was Satan's initial pride when he rebelled in heaven because he wanted to take the place of God. The Lord detests all the proud of heart, Jesus, humble of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. The arrogant, the proud will be humbled. Proverbs 16:5. We're talking about the future. We're talking about being people of promise, folks that have a future according to the Lord. Live your life for yourself and your own pride and arrogance. It will not end well. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. That's true at a lot of levels. It's especially true about God's instructions. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. That acrostic makes sense. It's also basic instructions while you're on earth. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. I mentioned earlier there's about 300 verses in the Bible that talk about the fact that we're saved by faith. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Happy, prospered is he who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Faith is all through the book. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It's the key to salvation. It's a key to a walk with God. It's a walk of faith, even in Proverbs. After 16:20, look at verse 25. Leave God out of the picture. Leave his word out of the picture. Live your life according to your own philosophy, to your own narrow-minded, short-sighted view. And this is what happens. Verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way that seems right to men. But in the end, it leads to death. You know what way that is? That way is me first. That way is my way or no way. That way is I'll get ahead at any cost. That way is I will please myself. I will promote myself. I will focus on myself. I will live for myself. I will live for my own pleasure. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We're talking about the future. We're talking about Proverbs giving us insight about what really matters. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord. The person who leaves him out, it leads to death. Proverbs 23. We're talking about a future. We're talking about a life worth living right into eternity. And I love how picturesque the Proverbs can be. Proverbs 23, beginning at verse 29. Get a kick out of this with me. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? The answer to woe and sorrow and strife and complaints and a hard time is escape. Run to the bottle, run to the drugs, right? Look at verse 30 through the end of the chapter. This is so fun. End of verse 29, here we go. Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Guess what it's leading to? Verse 30. Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine, do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will imagine confusing things. Some of you could give testimony to this fact. Verse 34, you will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging as you're trying to walk that sobriety line. Verse 35, you're drunk and you say, they hit me, but it doesn't hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. And when will I ever wake up so that I can find another drink? What is being described here? Drunkenness. The person who gets high again and again and again. He lives for his addiction to alcohol or drugs. This is a warning. You talk about verse 29. You think you had problems that drove you to drinking? You think you had problems that drove you to drugs? You just get addicted on these substance abuse items, and then you see what problems really are. When will I ever wake up? And when I do finally sober up, oh my goodness, all I can think about is my next drink or my next high. Proverbs has a lot of practical things to say about how to live and how not to live. We didn't look at it, but back in Proverbs 20, verse 1, it says, beer is a brawler. It's a brawler. Avoid alcoholism. Avoid drug abuse. Folks into that stuff don't have much of a future. Proverbs 24:14. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you. This is what we're talking about. There's lots of Proverbs that deal with living your life in such a skillful way that you have a future here and a future in eternity. There's a future for you if you live your life wisely. And your hope will not disappoint. Your hope will not be cut off. You make a series of wrong choices. The Lord will forgive you when you come back to Him, but there are always consequences to those choices. But know this, that when you live wisely, Proverbs 24:14, it'll be sweet to your soul and your future will be sweet. Make wise choices. Have a sweet future. Verse 20, same chapter, Proverbs 24:20. For the evil man has no future hope. Every 15 weeks, we've started out by saying the Proverbs are picturesque and they're pointed. How's that for a point? Verse 20. The evil man has no future hope. The person who will not acknowledge their sin, will not turn from it, has no future hope. And the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. No matter how brightly a person's lamp may seem to shine in this life, if it's based on selfishness, foolishness, sin, wickedness, it will be snuffed out. An evil man, apart from God, has no future hope. Judas followed Jesus for his own ends. Judas followed Jesus because he wanted to be rich and famous and thought Jesus was bringing in his kingdom right then. Judas used to steal from the treasury of the disciples because as they traveled and ministered for 3.5 years, people supported their ministry. The Bible tells us Judas was the treasurer. He regularly stole from the coffers and Jesus let him do it. And later when asked about Judas, Jesus said it would have been better for Judas if he had never been born. Don't live your life and don't make choices against God and against good where the judge of the universe would say of you or me, it would have been better if they hadn't been born. I know people seem to be getting along just fine sometimes without God, but listen to what God says, Proverbs 24:20. The evil man has no future. And however bright his light and life may shine with all the good times, without God, his lamp will be snuffed out, Proverbs 24:20. Proverbs 28:13 and 14. We're talking about a future, folks with a future, people of promise. Right with God by faith, right with God following Him. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. If you cover up your sins before God and people, you will not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them, turns from them, finds mercy. God forgives those who confess. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And isn't that amazing that that promise at the end of the Bible from the Apostle John is given by Solomon 1,000 years before Christ? Look at that. If you conceal your sin and cover it up and you won't admit it, you won't prosper. But whoever confesses, fesses up and admits and acknowledges their sin, God will have mercy on you. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Confess your sins. And you can do it straight to the Lord. You don't have to confess to a priest or a pastor. God knows your thoughts before you think them. Confess your sins to him. God promises mercy in the Old Testament as well as the New. Look at verse 14. Blessed is the man, prospered, happy, fortunate. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, lives his life recognizing that God is, and he's a rewarder of those who trust him. But he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Don't harden your heart towards God. Don't harden your heart towards your fellow man. God, give me a soft, receptive, trusting, childlike heart. Soften my heart, Lord, so that what matters to you matters to me, and that other people matter to me. Don't let me harden my heart in bitterness and selfishness. God, help me to keep my heart soft. Keep my heart soft, Lord, before you. Blessed is the person who has a soft heart before the Savior. Hard-hearted people fall into trouble. Okay, one more. Chapter 29, verse 6. We're talking about the future. Proverbs 29:6, an evil man is snared by his own sin. So that means the stuff I think I'm doing that is supposedly getting me ahead, doesn't matter how I'm disobeying God, doesn't matter how I'm damaging other people, I'm just out to please myself, I'm out for number one. An evil man is snared by his own sin. That sin that I thought was so gratifying in the long run is a snare to me. That's why the New Testament says the wages of sin is death. An evil man is snared by his own sin. That is the same as Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But a righteous one can sing and be glad. A person who's right with God by faith, confessing their sins, accepting God's forgiveness, allowing the Lord to deliver us from a self-centered lifestyle. The person who's right with God and right with others as much as it is possible. That person can sing and be glad and have joy in his heart. Paul said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Solomon says, an evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous man can sing and be glad. The things that we think we get away with it's killing us. Hurting others, hurting us, hurting God. Proverbs is all about faith in the Lord and fearing the Lord. Trusting the Lord and turning to the Lord. Wise living is putting God in the center of your existence realizing he is God and I am not. For what is man? Man cannot even keep himself alive on the earth. What is man? Why would I live for myself? I can't even keep myself alive. My heartbeat, my breath, it's a gift from God. Live for God. Live for others. Be folks with a future. Be people of promise. Fear God and trust Him. Place your faith in Him. Lord, we thank You for Proverbs. We thank You for how practical Your whole Bible is. Help us to be people who walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we do trust You, and we want to be quick to confess our sins. Thank You, Lord, that You forgive us when we admit our sin. Thank You that You save us when we ask You to. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You said, I go to prepare a place for You. And if I go and prepare a place for You in heaven, I will come again and receive You unto myself, that where I am, there You may be also. Thank You, Lord, that for the Christian, the cemetery has no power. Thank You, Lord, that for the Christian, even in the cemetery, there is great hope. For You have told us in Proverbs 14:32, even in death, even if we die, Lord, You have told us, when we're right with You, we have a refuge. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the resurrection and the life, that even when we die, You said we shall live with You. Help us to live for You now. Thank You that we can live with You forever. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we again thank You that we don't have to fear the grave. And we thank You for our country. Lord, bless us. Lord, bless the United States. For the glory of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.